This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the numeral 4, KIDS.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher that came out talking about it, and let me tell you why. Oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it? Why don't you talk about it during the season when it was going on? Why you didn't say, I don't want to be no part of? Oh, now. So you look like a snitch. You know what I mean? Why you got to talk about it after? Why don't you, that's my problem, you know. Why nobody say anything while it was going on? So they stopped that. So all this thing that is going on right now, it's not out there because it's going to be a huge distraction for the game for a while. And you don't want that.
Middays on the Score.
Oh, shut up, David Ortiz. You don't want to be a snitch. Come on, man. Please. Let's get on the right side of history already with some of this stuff. Let's talk a little bit of baseball as this scandal roiling MLB continues to unfold with every headline every day. Craig Calcaterra of NBC Sports, he is their lead baseball writer. You can follow him on Twitter at Craig Calcaterra. He is also the father of an infamous and brilliant cartographer who's making world headlines with one of the strangest maps of a hemisphere you'd ever see in your life. Incredibly entertaining stuff there, Craig. I know that kind of caught you by surprise. I was seeing, was it Long Texas, Long Idaho, Long Chile, and Ohio 2?
Yeah, and New Hampshire-mont.
That was so much fun. I love, you know, Twitter can be a horrible place, and it is often, but sometimes when the strangest exotic things find fame for good reasons, it's got to be pretty cool.
I've been a member of the media for a decade for an international media conglomerate, and absolutely nothing I have ever said, written, published has gotten like a 100th of the you know, explosion that this map my daughter did like in 2 hours in her room did. So I don't understand anything anymore. Nothing matters.
Well, it's that sort of nihilism will serve us well as we look at what's going on in baseball. I keep waiting for the Boston Red Sox punishment to come down. Do you think that this punishment is going to be informed by all of the reaction to what was and was not done to the Astros?
I mean, I think it will be, and I say that only because Major League Baseball, if it does anything, it reacts. It doesn't ever have a plan for anything that might reflect poorly on the league. It reacts 100%. We saw this just yesterday when Jonathan Lucroy of the Red Sox said that, oh, yeah, we knew about it in 2018, and the A's told Major League Baseball they didn't do anything. Well, they didn't do anything because it wasn't in the press. Once it hit the press in November, they reacted. So I think what's going to happen is Rob Manfred is sitting there right now, and he's trying to think, what do we do to the Red Sox? And he's thinking about everything that's happened in the last 2 weeks, and he's going to try to do it to head off criticism, the sort of which he's gotten for the last couple of weeks. The problem, though, is what else can he do? He's already said he's not punishing players, and he practically can't punish players. Alex Cora has already been fired, so I guess he'll get suspended on top of fired. You know, Dave Dombrowski is gone. The GM of the Red Sox at the time is gone. Probably not going to get another job as a GM at this point of his life and career. But, you know, I guess you could say something to him. But I don't know what else he does.
You know, Craig, the thing I don't understand is I think it needs to be more aware. You have players in the MLB now that are criticizing other players, but it was actually their union that pretty much negotiated the punishment. How do you discuss that?
Well, actually, that's not even true, because Rob Manfred said that the other day, and he wants that to be the perception out there that this is the union. He spent 2 days this week trying to throw blame on the union, but what actually happened, and if you look at Tony Clark's statements on this, the head of the union, Rob Manfred himself said, okay, I can't punish players. And then he went to Tony Clark, he said, I can't punish players. Will you let me punish players? And he said, well, no, because you can't punish players. Oh, okay, fine. And then he goes and does what he's going to do. For Rob Manfred, every time there's a new rule in Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred comes up with it, and then he goes to the union and says, hey, we want to do this rule. And sometimes it's even punishment. Say, we want to go after PEDs or whatever. We want to do this new rule. We want to do this new punishment. Will you agree with it ahead of time? Yes, we will agree with it, the union says, or no, we won't. Rob Manfred didn't do this. Over 2 years ago, he had the chance. When he knew about the Apple Watch thing in Boston, when he started hearing reports of sign stealing, he had the chance to say, wow, this is bad, and go to the union and say, we want to make some rules against this. We want to do some punishments against this. Let's ban players for 50 games. Let's do whatever we're going to do. He never did that. He said to himself, and he released a statement saying, managers and GMs will be punished, and that's it. He didn't think ahead of time for that, and he was stuck with that. Now, right now, if he goes to the union and says, we don't want this to happen again, and we want there to be, you know, 100-game suspension for anyone stealing signs, and the union says, no, go pound sand, well, fine. And in that case, the union is being obstructionist. But you can't say to a union whose job it is to protect the workers, can we have retroactive punishment that I didn't think of and I specifically said I wasn't going to do 2 years ago? Can we do that now, please? If a union had said okay to that, you should get fired.
But, Greg, if that is what happened, and I'll take your word for it, and thank you for correcting me, aren't players right now thinking, if I think it's worth cheating to improve my status, my career, our union will stand up for us, per se, because the league's not going to do anything. So this is maybe not to this extent, but this is going to continue to happen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that's the incentive that you got to be worried about, right? There's a conflict of interest here. I don't want to pretend that the union is like perfect here. They have a problem in that in situations like this and in situations like we saw with performance enhancing drugs, the violation is one union member hurting another union member, right? When an Astro knows what pitch is coming, he's hurting another member of the union, the guy who threw the pitch. And you need to create incentives there for that to not be a thing. So if I'm the union, I absolutely want there to be, because I need to protect. Look, you see, Chris Bryant, or you see Cody Bellinger, or you see somebody out there yelling, screaming, angry about what the Astros are doing right now, and you're on their side. They're right. You want to protect those guys too, but you have to do that now going forward and say, we're not going to let this happen again.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned Bryant. Bryant's the union rep. And that was my first thought, was kind of not you are a hypocrite, but hey, you can do something about this. You're the union rep. You know, if you want to say, they could even have taken unilateral steps without even talking to Manfred. There are things they could have done either symbolically or not on their own, you know, awareness and signs in the clubhouse like they do with all sorts of things, like hell, like they do with gambling, they can do with smokeless tobacco, and just say, this is something we don't do. Where I try to balance it too, Craig, because I'm very mindful of union as defense attorney, of what you're entitled to a robust defense, even when there has been actual wrongdoing. But then it's really important to protect the non-cheaters, to listen to these guys and say, we need to act in the best interest of the clean player, in the best interest of the game. I'm a little surprised that it's been behind closed doors rather than out front, say, look, we're going to gather as a union and we're going to fix this.
One thing I think you'll find, and we'll find over time, is, and we know this a little bit already, right? It's not just the Astros. And the Astros were able to be so bold about it, even though players change teams all the time, even though coaches change teams all the time, they're able to be bold about it because they know, hey, if anybody snitches on us, there's other teams doing this too. They're going to get, you know, in trouble for it too. It's like mutually assured destruction. There are a lot of people doing it. So I feel like you're right. At some point, there should have been, if it's as bad as it was, and if the Astros were so much worse than everybody else and the only ones doing it, you would think that players from 29 other teams would go to the union and say, we need to make this a priority. We need to stop this. They didn't, probably because, you know, a third of the league was doing something like this. I mean, we've seen reports about 10 to 12 teams maybe doing something along these lines, even if it wasn't as extreme as the Astros. That's why there wasn't action. There are guys benefiting from this, even if there are other guys that are getting harmed by this.
I'd love to get your national perspective on the move that the Cubs just made that I found fascinating on multiple levels, where here Chris Bryant was the subject of trade speculation all throughout the offseason after our annual angry Theo Epstein press conference where he vows massive change. And then we hear all of the possibilities. And then nothing happens. And we don't know why. We don't know if it's because the price was just set too high. People aren't knocking down the door to get him. And then not only does Bryant come to camp, but he comes to camp like a boss with stuff to say about everything. And he's shooting down rumors and he's talking about wanting to remain a Cub. And then they make him the leadoff man. And they say, by saying he's our best player, and we want our best player to get more plate appearances, they chose to make him matter more. What's the significance of that, and what pressure does it put on the Cubs up to the trade deadline now?
I think it is significant in that what it does is it definitely cuts off a lot of the bad blood and the bad press that have been happening over the offseason. I mean, the trade rumors were bad enough, that whole arbitration and everything about his service time, that was bad too. I think, you know, Theo Epstein, Chris Bryant, and his agent, they're all pretty bright people, and they all realize that no one's interest is served in everyone arguing about things and everyone, you know, not being on the same page. So on one level, there's probably just some PR to it in that, you know, Chris Bryant, even if he wants out of Chicago, he's not going to get traded if it looks like he's a malcontent. The Cubs, even if they do want to get rid of Bryant, they don't want to make it look like they have to, because that kind of screws up their leverage if they do want to trade him. And then if he plays there all season, you know, Bryant certainly doesn't want this cloud hanging over him as he hits free agency. So on one level, it might just be PR. On another level, I mean, the Cubs are still a pretty good team. They had a disappointing year. They're a pretty good team. They got a new manager. They want to win, right? I mean, if you're going to lose Bryant, do it like the Nationals did when they lost Anthony Rendon. Do it with a championship. And it's just smart baseball, I think, probably putting Bryant higher in the order. I tend to agree with the analysts who think that's a good move. It's smart baseball for him to be happy. It's smart baseball for the Cubs to make their fans excited. I don't see any problem with this. I don't think that there's some weird ulterior motives going on. I think everybody just realizes that the business side is the business side. It's spring training. Let's try to concentrate on the baseball of it. And then the final bit is, you know, even if you want to trade them, it's very hard to make a big trade right now, just because in spring training, everybody thinks, our team looks pretty good, so you're not desperate yet. If the Cubs start out like, you know, 15-27, we're going to be revisiting all the ugliness all over again.
So, Craig, you brought it up in that answer about service time. I mean, it's not like he was the only player that's had to deal with this issue. Should the teams in the league look to trade that rule regarding service time? Because it seems to become something that is brought up now all the time about, can't you actually make a team better by bringing up a certain player, but yet you don't want to bring up that player because it affects his service time?
I think the players certainly would love to have something change about that. The teams have been served pretty well by it. They got another year out of Chris Bryant out of it. The proposals, though, are hard because, like, on one level, a team has to have control over when you call somebody up. Maybe Bryant was an easy case. Bryant was, you know, blistering the ball in the minors the year before. He came up in spring training, and that year in spring training just absolutely crushed everything. And then they sent him down and brought him up the exact day that the service time was done. That was an easy case. Most cases aren't like that. I mean, no rookie, unless they're just an absolute god, comes up and has a perfect altogether set of skills. So you could always say, he needs to work a little bit on his base running. He needs to work a little bit on his batting eye. So it's very difficult to make a hard rule about that. The one thing that I've heard people say is, instead of 6 years in the major service time before you can become a free agent, your service time clock starts the minute you're drafted and you have like 10 years or something. I don't know how any of that would work. It's just a really tough issue. It's like anything else. When you have a hard and fast rule that's based on objective standards like time or money or anything that you can count, you can push all the way up to the edge of the rule and almost pervert its purpose. But I don't know that you can do anything about it.
Talking with Craig Calcaterra, the lead baseball writer of NBC Sports on the Burns Bernstein and McKnight show with former Bull Will Perdue sitting in for Connor and Connor McKnight, only because there's some rule apparently that says the replacement has to be taller and whiter. So this is the best that we could find. But Craig, why is Yasiel Puig out of work? And are we at the point now where he could end up like in Japan or something?
That's the strangest thing. I mean, I know that he's a controversial guy. I know that when he was in L.A., he didn't always get along with teammates. I know the press went after him a lot. He definitely has had his incidents, but he's still a pretty useful player. He's not the superstar that he looked like he would become, 5 years ago, but he's still a really useful player, even, especially after he went to Cleveland last year in the trade in the middle of the season. He was, an above-average hitter. He's an above-average outfield defender. I'm surprised. I don't get it. I know some things people talk about with him, and there's probably stuff that we don't know about in the public in the background that, people say, oh, he's a character problem. But there are a lot of guys in baseball that are character problems that have jobs right now. That one baffles me. He would make perfect sense in some place like Detroit right now, who they don't have five outfielders, that should be on a major league roster, and they're not looking at Yasiel Puig. So you sign him, let him rake for half a season and trade him. A lot of losing teams should do that. There are a lot of teams that are an outfielder short. Cleveland, where he left, should have him too. I don't get it. I mean, if he was going to go to Japan, he would probably absolutely murder the ball over there, but that would have happened already. The Japanese teams tend to really not want to approach players who are playing in America after their season has begun, and they're in spring training already too. So it's just really shocking to me. He'll land somewhere. He can't be unemployed forever.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because I look at White Sox right fielder Nomar Mazara's platoon splits, and I see an OPS plus of 68 against left-handed pitching. Depending on how long this goes, not only do you have a support system in the White Sox with all of these Cuban players, and you've got your sort of, your lodestone guy there in Jose Abreu, who's being, kept around at his age because he's like a father figure for some of these kids. I know Puig is, 31, 32 now, but might this be kind of a comfortable fit to use him to hit against lefties?
It could be. Puig actually is only 29, but the only thing about Puig in a platoon thing is, and I agree with you, I think he would fit great on the White Sox. He's a righty, but he tends to either have almost no platoon split or a negative platoon split over his career. He's nowhere near as pronounced a better hitter against lefties as against righties. And in fact, when he was really raking a few years ago, he somehow hit righties better, which is strange because that doesn't happen very often, but Puig is strange, so he does that. I think also the bigger issue is in L.A., that last year he was in L.A. and he was platooned a lot. He was viewed as not liking it very much. He had some comments about, he's an everyday player and stuff. And maybe now it's different because he's been a little bit more humbled, but there might be a perception that's not terribly unreasonable that he wouldn't take well to a platoon role. But I agree. He would help any team, almost any team, anyway, that he got signed to.
Craig, really appreciate the time, and thanks as always.
Thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.